Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you have joined the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the internet, it's 904-831-0917. We're talking about the myth of moderation. I have with me today Pastor Davis. Pastor Davis and I are talking about that subject. It is the myth of moderation. There are a lot of people today that think that you can participate in sin and evil and wickedness, but just do it in a moderate form. And I'm using that term as the analogy, Pastor, because as our caller said, it's okay to drink, just not to get drunk. How close to the edge of the cliff do you want to get as a Christian? I remember reading an article a number of years ago, a real story, life story, and didn't grasp me and hit me as much until driving to see my son up in Tennessee and getting on I-40. And I-40 with the switchbacks at 50, 60, 70 miles an hour with the sheer cliffs on one side of the road. But the story was told about a man that owned and operated a trucking company. The 18-wheeler had big rigs on the road, and he needed another truck driver, and he started taking applications. He took all the applications, and then he called 3 of them back in at different days for an interview. And the major question he would ask, he said, well, you know where the switchback is on I-40 at a certain location where there's a sheer drop-off on one side of the road. He said, if I hire you and you're driving my rig, how close to that sheer drop-off on I-40 could you drive without risking my rig, without risking the payload in the truck? One applicant said, well, I believe I could get close to it. I believe I could get close enough to the cliff to let one set of wheels hang off the side and still drive in and bring your rig back safely without harm or danger. And the owner of the company said, okay, thank you. Went to his next interview and asked the same question. He said, well, I believe I could literally get close enough to the edge that you could see the wheels hanging off the side of the cliff, and I could pull the rig back in and still maintain safety and bring your rig back without any damage. And he said, okay, thank you. Interviewed another one, and he said, talking to the owner that's interviewing, he said, well, number one, I want to hug the mountain as close as I can hug it. I want to stay as far away from the cliff as possible so that I know that I can drive safely, bring your rig in, and preserve all of the merchandise on that. He said, you're hired.
All right.
The mindset is to try to get as close into the world, to be involved in the world, and put your foot in the world, one foot in the world, one foot in the Word. And, ladies and gentlemen, that simply doesn't work at all.
Amen.
In fact,
amen.
I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis says, Barner, that's talking about George Barner, survey of Christian parents should shame the church. And it talks about Barner and his research, and it says, what makes the role of Bible-believing church attending parents so important? Which is why the famous pollster is increasingly dismayed to learn that the majority of parents are failing their own children. Among the Christian parents surveyed, only a slim majority, 56%, agree that the will of God and His presence in heaven because they trusted in Jesus Christ. goes on to talk about, the Christian Post notes that only a few percentage points separate the view of self-identified Christians and parents from the other. One question, 24% of the parents said they view the Bible as their primary source of moral guidance. Another one, Christian parents surveyed, only 33% agreed with that statement. It is a similar question. 29% of parents agreed with the statement that God is the basic of truth and is revealed in the Bible. Among the self-identified Christian parents, 38% agreed with that fundamental statement. Here's the bottom line. Millions of parents are clearly confused about who they are and what they believe. Barna said in a statement, in their efforts to shape their children, they can only give what they have. Many children are not interested in receiving a scrambled philosophy of life. And he goes on to talk about the grassroots problem is what is being taught in the pulpits and why the churches today are so derelict and the responsibilities biblically is because of not standing on the word of God.
Amen.
That's the key to it.
I am so glad you said that, Dr. Youngblood, because when you consider, you know, that caller a while ago, that to me represents actually what's going on in the body
That's
of Christ.
Right.
The devil has got us fighting one another over useless issues, Dr. Youngblood, when we should be having our mind set on the fact that Christ is soon to return.
That's right.
We preach it all the time. The next thing on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church.
Absolutely.
And he said, when he come, where I find you, I'm going to appoint you your portion. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to be a drunkard at the time he returns, you're going to get the reward of a drunkard. And guess where that's going to be? In the lake of fire.
That's right.
You're going to be in there burning with the rest of the sinners out in the world simply because you chose to take a drink.
You'll still be
my friend, now listen.
You'll still be concerned about climate change.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're not making it, I don't want to make it sound like drinking is no worse a sin than the rest of it.
Right.
But if we are Christians, the Bible tells us one of the fruit of the Spirit is being temperate.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-control.
Self-control.
Where are you going to use self-control at when you start to take a drink? I'm telling you now, I'm speaking from experience. Because we all thought that in order to enjoy life on a Friday after we have worked hard out at the plant, and we made our 40 hours for that week, that deserved the drink after we got off from work on a Friday. And Dr. Youngblood, it'll start with one drink. I'm talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Might be talking about some others, too. Some of y'all might be able to touch base with them.
Right.
Amen.
They might register.
Next thing you know, I think I have another. One thing leads to another.
Absolutely.
The next thing you know, you'll be behind the steering wheel of a car thinking that you can handle it, and then you end up either hurting yourself or hurting someone or both of you in the same process simply because you are so inebriated that you can't make the right choice.
Right. Absolutely.
So this is what we're speaking against with the drinking, especially to Christians. We need to get together with one accord.
And see what the scripture says.
Drinking, amen, is connected to dead works.
That's right. Absolutely.
We're not supposed to be associated with dead works anymore once we come to Christ.
That's right.
When Christ called Lazarus from the grave, he said, loose him and let him go free. In other words, take the grave clothes off of him because he couldn't serve Christ with grave clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be set free so that he could serve the Lord since God had brought him back from the dead.
Right.
Now, same thing with Christians. If God has brought you back from the dead, you can say what you want to. If you don't have Christ in your life right now, you're dead while you're still living.
Right. Walking dead man.
You're just a dead man walking.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But until you come to Christ, that's the only time you can find this abundant life that he has promised you that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing these things, these works that are connected to dead works when you were out in the world, my friend, let me tell you, sad is your case. That's where the devil wants to keep you at.
Oh, absolutely.
As long as he got you deceived, he's got you in the palm of his hands.
And many people will take their little sin habit, and they will search out a few little verses out of context and try to hang on to them to validate what they're doing in their sin-soaked lives.
You know, that's the thing, Dr. Youngblood. People can find an excuse to do anything they want to do except do the right thing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Look at what happened when they told us to close the doors to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches, they never reopened.
Right.
Because the CDC said this.
Right.
the government said that. Mm-hmm. And now, even today, you can't even get them to come back to church.
That's right.
They'd rather sit home and watch it on Zoom or listen in on some prayer line rather than come out to the house of God so they can be blessed. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not to assemble yourself together as the manner of some is. There is a reason for us to come together because we draw strength from one another.
That's right.
If I hear your testimony, if I hear you sing that song.
Sing that song, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I got to punch at
that's
it now.
That's when we get to heaven. I can sing that.
Amen. Amen. But when I hear this, Dr. Youngblood, that might give me some kind of encouragement.
That's right.
Absolutely. So this is why we come together. But listen now, you can't sing to me if you're drunk.
That's right.
You can't sing to me if you're sinning.
Right.
You can't testify to me what God done and you're not in your right mind.
You got it.
So it's time for us to come together and stop arguing over these petty points that don't mean nothing. It's useless.
The scripture says that if we're saved, all things have passed away and behold, all
Amen.
Things have become
Amen.
New. That means your attitude, that means your actions, your deeds, what you think, what you say, where you go, what you do, what you drink.
Amen.
All
Amen.
New. The scripture says.
Amen.
Pastor, I think we need to look at it a little more in depth for our listeners today. Think about the deception that's revealed and those that think that it's all right to drink. And they'll go back to John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, where Jesus turned the water into wine. And they will say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, so it must be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, there's three words. You've got Sikar, Yanin, and Ornos. Those are the three words that's used in the Old and the New Testament for the word wine or strong drink. Sikar, S-E-K-A-R, Yanin, Y-A-N-E-N, and Ornos, O-I-N-O-S, Ornos. Those are the three Greek and Hebrew words that's used for wine or strong drink in the scripture. Jesus turned the water into wine. Listen very carefully. They had at the wedding feast alcoholic beverages. And at the last, when Jesus turned the water into wine, they said, you gave the best last. Why was it the best? Because it was fresh, squeezed grape juice on us that Jesus Christ prepared in his miracle that he performed. Listen very carefully. Would Jesus drink an alcoholic beverage? Perhaps you say, I don't know. Perhaps you say yes. Well, if you say yes, you're misinterpreting the scripture. You're misunderstanding who Jesus Christ is. What is it that causes the grape juice to become alcoholic beverages? It is the yeast. It is the leaven. It is the impurity that's in it.
Amen. Amen.
Would Jesus take anything in his body that would be impure? In fact, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we used unleavened bread. Why is that so?
Amen.
Because leaven indicates impurity, indicates bacteria. And Jesus would not participate, take, or create anything that's impure that would be something that would be harmful. Why would the scripture have over 100 verses telling us that we ought not to participate in alcoholic beverages and then at the same time say, well, Jesus created wine. He created an alcoholic beverage. That is a lie from the demons of hell. No such thing. Jesus Christ did not do that. Jesus Christ would never participate. Jesus didn't drink alcoholic beverages. None of his disciples partook in alcoholic beverages. It is the fermentation process that makes it alcoholic beverages. Jesus is God, come in the flesh, and he would not eat or drink anything that would be fermented. The Lord's Supper is a good evidence of that, ladies and gentlemen, as I said a moment ago. But not only do we see the deception that's revealed, but I want us to understand the devastation that's recorded. I believe our listeners need to understand the devastation that's recorded in the scripture. Pastor Davis, if you would, turn to Proverbs 23. Start with verse 29 and go through verse 35. We're going to read those verses. We're going to analyze them. They're going to wrap up the broadcast today. And I just believe that, and of course, time wouldn't allow us to read or to refer to 100 verses, but we want to just go down to the line with verse after verse after verse after verse of what the scripture says about you who believe that drinking alcoholic beverages, Bud Dummer, Miller Low Life, or Jack Daniels, that you believe that it's okay to do that and still be saved.
Amen.
I want our listeners to understand, as the little boy says, it's poor grammar, but it makes a point, it ain't okay. to drink alcoholic beverages and say you're saved. You're deceiving yourself. In fact, the scripture says that in Proverbs 20, verse 1. Read those verses for our listeners, Pastor.
Amen. As a precursor, Dr. Youngblood, before we get to 29, right, in that same chapter,
yes,
over in 20, mm-hmm, verse 20 says, be not among wine bibbers,
yes,
among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags.
Right.
Now we go to 29. He said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That's
Pastor,
a drunk man.
Pastor, that's a drunk man. That's a drinker. That's one that drinks. If you put it in the parenthetical footnote that I would call it today, that's the Christian that claims he can drink and be all right. That's the Christian that says, well, God created liquor, alcoholic beverages, fermented drink to bring joy. That is simply a demonic lie. It's taking a fragment of a verse out of context, twisting it, perverting it for your own benefit and use. So taking those verses, who hath woe? Drinking alcoholic beverages, ladies and gentlemen, causes catastrophe. That word woe means calamity, catastrophe. Who hath sorrows, the scripture says? Alcoholic beverages cause calamity. Who hath contentions? Alcoholic beverages cause conflict. Who hath babblings? Alcoholic beverages cause confusion. Who hath wounds without cause? Alcoholic beverages causes injuries. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. They're talking about the fermented drink. Don't even look at it. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, it is literally a satanic, demonic influence that causes one to want to participate. And Pastor, I say this, I've seen too many people in history past, when they say yes to Jesus Christ, just as your own testimony, once a person says yes to Jesus Christ and allows the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord, Master, Owner, Controller, he is going to put away those things that are demonically controlling his life.
Amen. Amen. I would have to wonder, Dr. Youngblood, why would you need a drink, mm-hmm, when you got Christ in your life?
That's right.
Now, the other verse of the scripture that we read earlier about the wine, when it was warning you against partaking of the wine, in Proverbs chapter 31, it, mm-hmm, went down a little bit further and said, give wine to those, in other words, who have infirmities. Mm-hmm. Again, now, let's remember the context as you teach us.
Yes.
In that day and time, they couldn't go to the drugstore and find pain medication.
That's right.
They didn't have Walgreens and Rite Aid like we, mm-hmm, have today.
Just like we have rubbing alcohol also to go into a wound.
Amen. So they gave strong wine to those who were perishing,
so that they would be languishing without feeling.
Amen. 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 So let's make sure we don't take that out of context.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even in the scripture that we just read, in this same verse of scripture here, you go down to the 33rd verse. He said, thine eyes shall behold strange women.
Mm-hmm.
What's causing that? It's the drink in it.
The drinking. Perversion.
Amen.
Perversion.
So that means you are now intoxicated.
Yes.
and the devil's taking control of your mind, and you're beginning to think things that you ought not to think and to do things that you ought not to do.
Yes.
Then he went a little bit further in that same verse and said, thine heart shall utter perverse things.
That's right.
Hmm? Perverted judgment, mm-hmm. in other words, proceeds from those who take a drink and lose control, yes. of their moderation.
In fact, I made a note in the margin of my Bible, Pastor. It says it produces pain, it produces poison, it produces perversion, it produces ultimate punishment in one's life.
Amen.
As you look at the text.
Amen.
How can a Christian say that it's okay to do that? How can a Christian say that it's all right? It's like saying that, I can be a Christian. I'm not a thief. I just steal every now and then. I'm a Christian, and I'm not a murderer. I just shoot people every now and then. I'm a Christian, but I like to go to porn shops. I'm a Christian, and I'm just doing that occasionally. I'm not getting addicted to it. I'm not going to be hooked by it. I'm just going to do it occasionally. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to be considered an alcoholic. What is an alcoholic? How do you determine that? You can take one, as you touched on earlier, that might have one drink. He's an alcoholic. One might have two drinks and say, I need 10. He becomes an alcoholic. You cannot bifurcate it, ladies and gentlemen, and make that kind of statement. It is irrational reasoning when you do so. It's an oxymoron to say, I can drink, just don't get drunk, and it's all right, I'm still a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor, in these last few minutes, I want us to focus on the directive from the Scripture.
Amen.
We have talked about, in our few moments, the deception that's revealed. We looked at the devastation that's recorded. But I want us to think about the directive that's reviewed in the Scripture. And we could go to 100 verses. Time won't allow it. I'm just simply going to read two or three of these that I've outlined for this purpose today. And then we'll talk about them. For example, God's servants are not to drink, found in Leviticus 10, 8 through 11. Also found in the Proverbs 31 text that
Amen.
You read a moment ago.
Amen.
Drinking is an attribute of disobedience to God, Deuteronomy 21, 20. A drinking man, according to 1 Samuel 25, verse 36 through 38, a drinking man was smitten of God. Then in 1 Kings 16, 8 through 10, a man is killed while drunk. Perversion is the result of drinking. Esther 1, 5 through 22.
Amen.
Perversion is the result of, you read it a moment ago and you touched on it, found in the Proverbs 23 text. It brings about perversion. There are a lot of people out there today that are simply, I call them church skirt chasers. They are vacillators. They cannot stay on track with their job or their work or their focus on serving the Lord. I know people at this time, at this very moment, not say where, when, or what, but I'll simply tell you, I know people that seemingly on one hand are good people. They seemingly love the Lord, but they are hooked on the drinking, and as a result of that, can't stay on track in serving God.
Amen.
Can't stay
Amen.
On track with a job. And as a result of that, because you go back to the Proverbs 23 text, thou shalt be as the he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, and as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, they shall say, but yet I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That is addiction and perversion.
Amen.
As
Amen.
A result of the addiction. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
This is Sherry.
Yes.
And I wanted to say good afternoon to you and your guest.
Thank you.
Yes. I wanted to say that I think two things. If you're a Christian and you're out drinking and you see someone that in the church, your same church that you go to, or you see somebody that you have witnessed to, and you kind of shriek down and you want to hide from them because you don't want them to see you drinking, that means either the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you should not be drinking, or if you don't feel convicted and you keep drinking in front of someone you witness to or someone you go to church with, then you probably may have to question your Christianity or question your walk with God.
Sherry, you said that so apropos. Amen. You said that you hit the nail on the head. You're spot on. You made that statement better than I could have made it with drawing the analogy, and you're exactly 100% correct. And I would second that statement 100% because that is exactly what you see today. And I am thankful for your insight and your wisdom on that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. You all have a good afternoon, and thank you for your testimonies and being on the air.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, let's make sure we know and understand what the point we're trying to... We're not on here to condemn anyone today.
Just trying to illumine some eyes.
We actually want to help you.
Yes.
In your deliverance.
Yes.
We're praying that God will deliver you from deception.
Amen.
Because that's actually what it is. Deception.
Deception. Demonic because deception.
Do not take it lightly. No one can control alcohol. Alcohol is a drug just like the other drug that out on the street corner.
Absolutely.
You cannot control a drug. And again, we have read the results of what happens to people that take a drink and they say they're taking it in moderation, mm-hmm. and how they have all these thoughts. They start looking at women in the Proverbs 23 verses that we just read.
Right.
And then you end up saying, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up, I'm going to get another drink.
That's right. It's the perversion, destroys the wife, destroys the family, destroys your life in relationship to that. And then you say, well, what happened? It's because you've gotten addicted to the alcoholic beverages.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the myth of moderation. Drinking will deceive, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Drinking leads to poverty, according to Proverbs 21, verse 17.
Amen.
It leads to poverty.
Amen.
A person cannot say, I'm a Christian, and it's okay, I'm drinking, and I'm not going to be a drunk. You get deeper and deeper and deeper until you've lost everything you've got as a result of it. By the way, Pastor, some of these same ones that said it's okay to drink, just don't get drunk. They said it's okay to use marijuana, just don't let it control your life. It's okay to just have one fentanyl or whatever it may be, just don't let it control your life. It's an impossibility. You hit it exactly right. It is a controlling drug that controls the mind, the heart, and the life. It becomes one of those things that dominates one's life.
Amen.
As a result of it. God says not to even look at the strong drink when it's in Proverbs 23, verse 21. A strong drink will poison, verse 32 of Proverbs 23. Strong drink perverts the mind, verse 23, verse 33.
Amen.
It is a factor, ladies and gentlemen, that drinking leads to carnality, Isaiah 22:13. Drinking destroys leadership, Isaiah 28:7. Drinking leads to shame, Habakkuk 2:16. Jesus warns against drinking, Luke 12:45. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we understand what true Christianity is. It is leaving the world out of our lives and submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The word Lord means Kyrios, owner, master. So I pray that Jesus Christ will be the master and not Bud Dumber, a Miller Lowlife in your life. Thank you for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.